Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend, and welcome to Hope for Today. My name is J. Mark Horst. I'm your friend and Bible teacher. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope, an international gospel radio and literature ministry. For the past few programs, we've been studying the subject, the peril of mammon. So let's continue it now. As we begin, I will read the scripture text, Luke chapter 16 and verses 19 to 31. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. And moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. Then he said, I beg you, therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham said to him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent. But he said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead. And that final tragic result is a calamitous eternity. And it came to pass that the beggar died. The rich man also died. You know, as I read that, the sobering words of Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 came to me. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Can you imagine the desire of the beggar to be saved from his current condition? Lazarus died. No mention of a burial. His body may have been thrown on the garbage heap. And then the rich man also died, and he was buried. No angelic visitors for him. But we can surely imagine a lavish ceremony in keeping with his wealth and standing in the community. He was probably eulogized for his wealth and status. He was approved by men, but rejected by God. And what happened to his wealth? It certainly didn't do him any good now. Lazarus died, and his soul and spirit were transported by the angels into Abraham's bosom, or paradise. Now, to rest on the bosom or the chest of another person expresses special favor and intimacy. As we learned earlier in our study of chapter 14, part of the Jewish conception of paradise was the privilege of participating in the heavenly banquet at the end of life. Now here was Lazarus, cleansed from his crippled, unclean, ulcerated body, reclining on Abraham's breast. Why was Lazarus comforted? Because he was poor? Of course not. It was because he understood his need of God and rested his confidence on him. Both men were in Hades, the place of departed spirits. But in contrast to the intimacy and perfect bliss that Lazarus was enjoying, The rich man was in extreme anguish. The contrast can't be greater. Remember, Jesus had warned the leaders earlier in Luke chapter 13 and verse 28, "There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out." The rich man now understood. He was in anguish. Notice his attempt to claim a relationship by saying, "Father Abraham." Now, it was a well-founded but unavailing claim. He asked that Lazarus be sent. To give him a drink? No, only to dip the tip of his finger in water and put it on his tongue, because he is in anguish because of the flame. How ironic. The one who showed no mercy in his life now asks for mercy in his death. Now listen to the words of Abraham. "Son, remember. Son, remember." Such tragic words. You see, it could have been different. In your lifetime, you received the full measure of good things, and likewise, Lazarus received a full measure of evil things. But now, he is comforted, and you are tormented. One writer reminds us, it is a great law of God's kingdom that the nature of our present desires shall rule that of our future bliss. In other words, Abraham told the rich man, "Your request is impossible. You have already made your choice. And furthermore, there's a vast, impassable chasm that is fixed between us and you, so that none can pass from here to you or from you to here." Finally, the rich man realizes his condition is hopeless. So he asks for Lazarus to be sent back to his family members, his five brothers, to warn them so they wouldn't suffer the same fate. His response doesn't seem motivated by genuine concern, but rather bitterness toward God. "If only I had been sufficiently warned, if God had only given me clear evidence of the need for repentance, I would not have come into this place." Abraham's response is instructive. He said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them pay attention to them." In other words, they are already sufficiently warned. And to this, the rich man responds with objection, "No, but if one went to them from the regions of the dead, they would repent." You see, Jesus' argument has turned full circle. These men who were listening showed contempt for the words of Moses and the prophets. They showed contempt for the living word who stood right in front of them, and they would show contempt for him even after he arose from the dead. The response of the religious leaders proved the fallacy of the rich man's argument. It wasn't information they were lacking. It was the will to believe and to obey. And they too would find themselves thrust out of the kingdom and replaced by repentant publicans and sinners. Now, friend, where do you find yourself in this picture? Remember, Jesus is speaking to those who were religious, to those who assumed an air of piety. He was speaking, according to Luke chapter 18 and verse 9, to those who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Do you harbor a spirit of contempt for the teachings of Jesus and the Scripture? If you're like me, you're quick to say, "Oh, no, no, I would never treat Jesus or the Word with contempt." Really? Well, what about living out Jesus' commands that are given to us on the Sermon on the Mount? Oh, you say they're not meant for today? Who gave you the authority to decide that? Remember, Jesus said not even the smallest portion of the law would be left unfulfilled. And the requirements that Jesus gave for those who would be his disciples in his kingdom is far greater than the letter of the law. It's so easy for us to be like the Pharisees and justify our actions, to explain why it's okay to disobey the clear teaching of Scripture in a particular instance. For example, Jesus said, "Give to him who asks you, and don't turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." But I've heard people say things like, "Oh, don't give that person anything. They'll just spend it on booze or cigarettes." Or, If they weren't so lazy, they wouldn't need help. Just so you know, there are ways you can obey this command and still make sure that what you give meets a real need. But has it ever occurred to you in situations like this that God may have a greater interest in your response than in the other person's need? Jesus said earlier in this chapter that if you and I aren't faithful in following his commands about how to use our stuff, we won't be entrusted with the true riches. That makes our choices and our obedience pretty important, doesn't it? And that same choice, to refuse someone in need, reveals a callous heart. The rich man in this parable could have made Lazarus' life a whole lot easier, and you know what? He most likely would not have even missed what it would have cost him. Now, we don't get the impression that he was antagonistic toward Lazarus. He didn't forbid those men to lay him at the gate every day. He just didn't care. He didn't take time to learn more about his condition and offer lasting help. He was too busy with his own life and his own possessions. That one hits us pretty hard, doesn't it? Just like Lazarus and the rich man, you and I will someday leave this life. And at the moment we do, our destiny will be sealed. The rich man didn't end up in torment because he was rich. And Lazarus didn't end up in the bliss of paradise because he was poor. Jesus was not teaching a works-based salvation. But he was clearly teaching this, that those who serve material wealth cannot, at the same time, serve God. His teaching and this parable show the end of anyone who tries to have it both ways. Remember what I said earlier? It is a great law of God's kingdom that the nature of our present desires shall rule that of our future bliss. The rich man focused on his wealth and ignored God's command to care for the poor and the stranger. Now he was reaping his inevitable reward, and there was no way to escape. And you know, sadly, though we have a clear warning of where these choices lead and what their results are, many of us still try to accomplish the impossible. It will never work. What is highly valued among men is detestable and loathsome to God. Whoever will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. That, my friend, is the peril of mammon. My friend, were you blessed by this teaching? If you'd like to have an audio CD or a printed copy of this complete teaching, just write and request it by its title, The Peril of Mammon. Now, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. That email address again is hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, The Peril of Mammon. I'd be happy to send one to you. Once again, the quickest way for you to contact me is to send an email to this address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to Hope for Today, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, The Peril of Mammon. It's available in print or on an audio CD. And don't forget, our Bible teaching programs are available to you all the time and anytime on our website, media.heraldsofhope.org. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as we continue our study in Luke's Gospel. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.